This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Ah, good afternoon. We're all hooked up over there, Mike?
No, I'm not. I'm not hooked up at all. I'm just asleep. Well, I'm taking a nap right now in the heat.
Speaking of heat, Kyle wanted me to give you this here to have a little reading.
Oh, Kyle did?
Yeah.
Did he do that on purpose? Sunny and hot near 120? Okay, great. 118? Tell Kyle he's got a weird sense of humor and he knows it. Ah, geez Louise.
Yeah, it is good. 97, though.
Well, it's 96 in the parking lot.
Well, what's the degree between friends?
Anyway? Well, it's like the last drop of water that sinks the ship.
Okay, you got a point there.
I know. Well, hello, everybody. I know it's hot. You're probably inside drinking iced tea, and you got no desire to go out in your yard and pull weeds or mow or prune or plant, and I don't blame you one stinking bit. But thank you for listening, and this is an educational show, believe it or not. And if you have a question, you can always call us at 673-4464. Any kind of question is fair game, so don't, pretending to plants and stuff, we don't want to get too wild here. They'd probably censor us. But at any rate, 673-4464. So, I don't like the heat, not when it gets over, but, 85 is my limit. And
that's a good range.
I can live with that. I can actually breathe the air and not scorch my lungs and all that kind of stuff. But this 96, 97 stuff, what was it the other day, 102 or something?
Yeah, Sunday, yeah. Was it?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, forget that, man. That's Death Valley's low.
And that is death.
I know, that is death. So, geez Louise. Anyway, kind of a weird mixed show today because I don't know. There's so much stuff that you can throw out there, but I wanted to share a little bit of kind of personal information here with you a little bit. First of all, to all my listeners and all my clients out there in the landscaping world, thank you very much for all your business and all your faith in my abilities and my crew's abilities. And it's been, I've been in this business since 1973. And when I started, it was me and two other landscapers in the entire county. And the other two guys were about my age now, and I was my 25. So I thought, get them old guys out of here. Well, now I'm an old guy. And when I started, it was, kind of different. I was licensed, and had the bonds and the insurance and all that kind of stuff. But do you have a call?
We do.
My goodness, why didn't you say something?
Well, I didn't want to interrupt.
Oh, well, I can get back on my theme.
Okay. Hey, you're on the air with Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Can you hear
me? You're kind of cutting out on me.
Uh-oh.
Well, okay, how about now?
That's better.
Oh, okay, I had you on speaker. I took you off.
Good.
I have. Well, thanks for taking me and a question about a Kwanzaa flowering cherry tree that I have.
One of my favorites.
I've read only a tiny bit, but I have some. Well, first, it's about 6 years old, and it's about 14 to 18 feet tall, maybe 9 to 10 feet wide. And I, about a month and a half ago, I noticed I had some branches from the tips of them, maybe a foot. They were breaking and laying over, and I went and, pruned them down to just below that spot.
Yeah.
And didn't know what was causing it, and I probably had about 4-5 branches that did that, and they kind of have a pitchy spot right at the break.
I see.
Kind of a sticky, but it doesn't really feel like pitch, just sticky. And then I put a little more of my protect and feed stuff on it, and thinking that my application in March I didn't put enough and was hoping that that would take care of it if it was a pest or a disease. Then everything seemed to be okay for about this last month, and I just noticed I have a few more that are doing that. So I'm just wondering what it is and what I can do.
Well, have you checked the main stem, the trunk, and seen any damage at all in the trunk?
Not recently, but a couple of years ago, I did have damage on the trunk, and I kind of brushed it out and looked at it real close, mm-hmm. and then applied some kind of a patch, a black sticky patch that seals it.
Yeah.
And I think I applied a little bit of a fungicide that is a fungus mite insect repellent type mm-hmm. spray. And then last year, before the winter, I put another couple coats of that black sealant on it and wrapped it, you know, just in case that would help through the winter.
Sure.
But I didn't notice anything until this, you know, about a month ago when those branches were breaking. Hmm. And just, I had read just a tiny bit about it, and it said that it does have a disease bacterium that bothers it, or, you know.
Is this tree in an irrigated place or non-irrigated place?
Non.
Well, that's good. That's a plus, because they don't like water, that's for sure. I'm wondering if you might have what they call a twig borer. When you break off the dead parts or maybe some of the live, have you looked under the bark and seen if there's any little tiny bugs in there or grooves along the cambium layer where something might have been crawling in there?
You know, the branches that are breaking are real thin, the diameter is real small, but they look like there's like a hollow, you know, slice in there. Hmm. And just that pitchy, I don't notice any bug.
Well, you know, it's kind of, that would be, it's a little hard for me to diagnose without actually seeing the tree. But there are some arborists in our area now that have spray licenses also. And I don't know that I would spray it in the heat of the day, but what you might do is call, like maybe Cowboy Tree Service or, you know, whatever place might be advertising spray, and have them come and fumigate the tree. Is there any other vegetation near this tree that is having a problem?
No, I have... two buddleias on each side of it, but they're not touching it, and they're kind of tall.
Yeah.
But I sprayed around the bottom of the Quonset tree, a couple nights ago, with that Garden Safe fungicide, mite insecticide, just if they were coming up from the bottom.
Yeah.
Just to see if that would stop them.
Well,
if it's a bug.
Yeah. Well, that would stop certain things. I don't know. But, you know, if we had a cool evening, I would spray, you know, if you've got something to spray with, you get after the sun is, you know, out of the sky, but it's still light enough that you could see and the temp is actually cooling off a bit, or very, very early in the morning, you might consider just giving the tree a quick spray. If you can, if you're capable, you know, with whatever equipment you might have, and see if that helps. But
what should I spray it with?
Well, that's the problem. You know, at the co-op, a friend of mine, Mark Christensen, he's like the spray expert of the world. That guy has been at it for a long time, and that's what he specializes in. And whenever I have a spray question, like what you're posing to me, I go to him and ask him for advice, and he's got this book about 6 inches thick with every disease known to plant, and he usually looks it up, and we talk a little bit, and he diagnoses it from the description in this book, and I take his recommendation, and you know, 99% of the time it works. And I don't have that same book, but, you know, given the description that you gave me, it wouldn't, I don't think it would hurt to go see Mark, because he's really sharp, and he's been doing this a long time, and good guy, you know, real friendly, good guy.
And that's at the co-op?
Yeah, it's at the co-op on Stevens, up on the north end of town, yeah.
Okay. And if I need somebody, which I do, to spray, because I'm older and don't want to get on a ladder, and it's, you know, 14 feet tall, and I don't, you know, just who else can you, you just said Cowboy Tree?
Well, you call Cowboy, because that's the first one that came to mind, because I'm sure they have a spray outfit that they can do that for you with. But if they can't, there are several others in the yellow pages that could probably help. Just give them a call till you score with one.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Mike.
Well, I didn't help you much, but that's a start.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. 418 and still 97 degrees. How about that?
Quit saying that all the time, for goodness sakes.
Yeah,
97 degrees. Yeah. Anyway, I started off, you know, I started in 1973. I was like 25 years old, and you know, full of energy and not much, not much learning. Oh, I had a little bit. I had the basics down, and since then, you know, we've progressed all these years, and it's been quite interesting. And all the projects that I've done, I mean, I've done literally thousands of projects in that time frame, and 99.9% of my clients have always been great clients, thankful, they like what we do, they're very complimentary and all that. And only one time did I have a client turn on me after asking some questions about, you know, the type of seed I put in his lawn, that he almost kicked me out of his property and was yelling and screaming at me, and I didn't know how to react. And I thought, what the heck? But this person lived out in the country and surrounded by agricultural fields, and it wasn't a yard that you'd have in town. It was a fairly good site, maybe a third of an acre kind of thing, a quarter of an acre. And I did all the work and got it all graded and leveled, and he's surrounded by every weed in the world. But, you know, I gave him the best seed that the co-op had at the time.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, since he's a farmer, he probably wants some clover in there, because clover fixates nitrogen into the soil, and it stays fairly green, and it's really, really tough. And I don't know how much this guy's going to irrigate it, because he had no irrigation system in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a 50-pound sack of clover, and I probably had, you know, 100 pounds of the other stuff, or 150 pounds of regular seed, and I mixed it, and I did it that way on purpose, because I thought that was the best way to approach that particular project.
Right.
And then it was all said and done, and he asked me, well, what kind of seeds you use? And I said, well, I used a perennial rye, and I used this, and I used this, and then I used some red clover. And that's when he exploded at me. And he yelled and screamed at me, and I didn't, like I said, I don't know how to take it. And anyway, I left.
What was his problem with the clover?
I don't know. To this day, I don't know, because he was surrounded by, you know, it was way out in the country.
Yeah.
And he was surrounded by the native clover and all the other weeds that were out there, because he had a farm. And I thought, well, gosh, you know, it would be green. It would stay greener with the clover. Mm-hmm. And also, like I say, it adds nitrogen to the soil. And I thought, well, that would be good overall. And that was that's been the only person in all the years that has been dissatisfied.
Was it here in the county?
Yeah, it was here in the county.
South County?
No names. No geographical descriptions or locations.
On that, we got to take a break. Yeah. We'll be back with more Mike Winters on a hot day.
Hot day.
News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Gotta be something wrong with that. All right, we're back with Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show on this Wednesday afternoon, and the lines are open.
Yeah, if you have a question, 673-4464, but I'm just kind of sharing some information that I've gained over the years and my early start in the landscaping world and that kind of thing.
Yep.
But like I said, only one client in all those years really, really was super dissatisfied. and something
you'll remember.
Yeah, I remembered it. It was quite vivid because I was just starting out and, it was a bummer. I thought my world had almost ended. But
got you right down to the core.
Yeah, but 99% of them are very pleased at our landscape creations, and that's what makes my business fun and satisfying. I enjoy what I do. I enjoy creating beauty. I enjoy transforming a backyard, a front yard, or whatever into something that folks they'll find pleasing and will do well for years to come. And you know, that's the clients that I do, you know, all these clients I do, most of them are very complimentary of my crew, and sometimes they even give my crew tips, like
nice.
Money. And I'm thinking, why you didn't give me none? But one lady we did a job for. It wasn't a real big job, but it we really made a little bit of a difference in her front yard. She had a rather big front yard, and I think it was like a 2-day job, and I was sitting with her in the front as we were finishing up and the guys were putting the tools away, and she said, "Oh, your crew works so hard." And I said, "Yeah, good people. That's why they work for me." And she says, "Okay if I give them a tip?" I said, "Well, sure, yeah." And she whips out her checkbook. And I had three guys with me, and she whips out her checkbook and wrote each of them a check for $150 a piece.
Wow, that's nice.
And
I
blinked.
Cool.
And I'm thinking, am I going to get one?
Yeah,
no, I didn't get one.
You didn't get one?
She just gave me the money for the job. But she was so nice, and so, you know, that blew my mind. I mean, $150.
That's a lot of tips.
That's a lot of tips. $450 she shelled out there in like 5 minutes. And the guys couldn't believe it either. They thought, what in the world? Ooh, man.
Let's go to the next job.
Yeah. But, yeah, hurry up. Let's go. Let's work some more, man. But, many of my clients, when we're all said and done, they're, like I say, they're very complimentary of my guys. And my guys are very good, and they work very, very hard. And many of the clients will say, you know, when it's all said and done, they say, wow, this is more than what I had expected. And so that's one of the things that, make it really worthwhile. And you say, well, if that's more than what they expected, what can I do for the next one? You know, because each place is different. Each place has its own set of challenges.
Yeah.
Each place, you know, very few of them are a perfect, like, square with good soil to start with. You gotta manufacture the soil. You gotta get the plant materials that actually work and take the input from the client about, well, I want this, and I'd like to have this, and I'd like to have that. And so you try to create and show them. You know, I was watching a TV thing. They're pool builders. They build swimming pools.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, it's, you know, one of them, HG whatever show on TV.
Yeah.
So it was a doctor and his wife, and they had this old swimming pool. And this guy started describing what they wanted, and they're going to have waterfalls, and we're going to have this, and we're going to have an island for my mother-in-law, and, you know. And so I watched this whole show. These guys were amazing. What they created was beyond my imagination. And I thought, how in the world could they do that? And there was only four of them. One of them was a woman. And she's hefting rocks around. And they made this huge waterfall. And it was just it reshaped the whole thing. Made a beautiful patio. And I thought, and they're talking. I'm thinking, I wonder how much that costs. Well, at the end, he said, well, you know, the budget was $350,000, and that's what we stayed within for our swimming pool. I think the guy was a brain surgeon.
Yeah,
sure.
I think I'd rather go skinny dipping in a creek.
Yeah, I know. Boy, I'll tell you what. $350,000 swimming pool? Yeah, I can do that for you.
Yeah,
no problem.
Sure.
But anyway, for Douglas County, I love Douglas County. The people are great. It's so beautiful, and we got some freedom here. We're not unlike downtown Portland, and I could not live in Portland for any amount of money. So thank you, Douglas County, for being who you are, what you are, and treating Wintergreen Nursery so well over all these years. And this year, I can't believe how much work I've got, and it's just like... We're booked into October on projects right now, and I hope I can get there by then because I'm only about a month and a half behind as it is. And the thing is, you get into a job and you lay it out, and then the client says, well, you know what? How about if we added this? Or how about if we did that? How about one of those? And how about three of these? And I'm going, well, what's good? It's adding to the job monetarily, mm-hmm. but it also adds to the time that we're there.
It.
And I thought, well, I can knock this one out in 3 weeks, and we're there for five, you know?
Yeah.
And the next guy in line is the
going,
one.
What?
You know, what are you doing? When am I, where am I? Aren't you going to come to my place?
And you forget about me?
You know, and then, of course, with this COVID junk and all that slowed everything down. I mean, try to get a load of bark and you'd have to wait a month for a load of bark because all the people that were going and calling because they were laid off and doing work at their own home.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had this list. Usually you have to wait 3 or 4 days, you know, as a contractor.
Yeah.
A month, 5 weeks for a load of bark. Whoa.
Horrible.
You know? But you know, there's no way you get around it. And the same way with plant materials, same way with just about anything.
Yeah, it's nobody's fault. It's just
no, it isn't.
The way it is.
Yeah, it's the way it is. But even in spite of all that, it's been a super duper good year. So the key that I was going to, what I started out with when I was writing my show is about landscape maintenance. And I know I've talked about landscape maintenance in the past, but, you know, it's like it's so hot day after day after day, and I get questions about, well, this is happening to my grass, or my shrubs look like this, or what do I do here, or what do I do there? So, you know, it's if you have a landscape, especially one that's been professionally done and you had to shell out, you know, some big bucks to get it done, or even if you've done it yourself, landscape maintenance is a high priority in the summer, you know, especially when the temperatures are 90 degrees and up, up to 102 or whatever the heck it is. And you know, that coupled with the low rainfall we've had for the last 4 years, that moisture that was normally in the soil, even in August, is not there because the soil moisture from, you know, accumulative years of drought continues to dissipate, continues to drop to lower levels. And the shrubs, the trees, especially the older trees, you can see Doug fir all over the place dying because there's mm-hmm. no moisture. And that's what makes your landscape maintenance, you know, difficult. And so, you know, plants and people are, you know, under great stress as the heat continues. Stress, people are under stress because of what I do with that tree. It was so good for 5 years or 10 years, and now it's looking very poor.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, it may have a bug, it may have a fungus, but it may just be dying from drought, and maybe you have to, you know, give it a little bit more water or something. But the soil, when it's dry, you add water in one place, and the surrounding soil that's dry sucks away that moisture very quickly. So while you think you're giving the tree or the shrub sufficient moisture, you are initially, but it again, the dry soil, again, sucks the mm-hmm. moisture away from the root system. So you got to kind of, you got to kind of almost water it twice as much when you do water, but you don't water it every day that way because that doesn't work.
That's not good either.
So pray for a lot of rain, okay? I mean, like 3 inches this week would be fine. That would help us out a great deal. Wouldn't end it, but it would help. But what is amazing, you know, in some parts of the USA, there's these gigantic storms that are causing floods. You know,
isn't
Texas,
that something?
Yeah. Texas, Florida, northeastern Mexico.
And there's hurricanes.
That hurricane that hit in there this last week, you know. And then my daughter, one of my daughters lives up near Austin.
Uh-huh.
And no rain there.
Is that right?
Yeah. And I'm thinking, how in the world can this gigantic hurricane blow in there? And they were talking 18 inches of rain, and all, you know, I'm thinking, whoa, and flash floods and all. Well, it only happened on the coast, and then it made a left into Mexico.
Oh.
this is weirder than ours. So, but anyway, the bottom line is to water smartly, and if you have an automatic sprinkler system, you know, make it a point to watch it during its operation so it's actually functioning the way it was designed to function. Because oftentimes we think, well, we'll just flip the switch in April and we don't have to worry about it till October or November and we flip the switch off. Well, unbeknownst to you, critters or vibration or surges in water, yeah, or whatever, can get those out of kilter, or they can blow the nozzle right out if something, you know, something gets in there, and so consequently you don't know what's happening until a large part of your lawn is a little bit yellow and you walk out there and it's bone dry and it's hard as a rock. It's because the sprinkler was not rotating, or it was plugged, or, you know, something like that. So when you have a sprinkler system, you got a lawn and shrubs or whatever, you know, turn it on and watch it, look at it, and look at each head. Make sure that if it's a rotating head, it's rotating, and, you know, if you got it on 180 degrees rotation, make sure it's doing its full rotation. Because every morning I'm at my nursery about 5:30 in the morning turning on my field water, because I got plants out in the field outside of the retail part. And when I flip the switch on the pump, I automatically go up and I look at each head that's watering that batch of plants just to make sure. And even though, I mean, it's not real expensive heads, but even though I know it's watering and from a distance it looks okay, they still get out of tune, if you will.
Yeah.
And so I'm constantly, at least say once every 10 days to 14 days, I have to do a minor adjustment so that it's actually watering what it's intended to water and not the weeds over to the left.
Right.
You know, it's not, it
constant
hasn't swung.
Tinkering.
Yeah, it is. And you just have to observe it for, especially like I say, in the days when it's going to be 90 plus for X amount of time.
Yeah.
You know, if it was only 70, it's a different story. You still need to pay attention, and that's part of the maintenance project, is just don't forget that it's out there. Don't forget that it's a mechanical thing, and there might be surges in water. There might be dirt in the water that plugs up ahead, and you don't even know it, for crying out loud. It happens.
Sure.
Do we have a call or something?
We have a break.
A break, okay.
All right. Okay. It is 4:36. Boy, that didn't sound right.
4:36, why not?
I don't know. I don't know. It's just the way I said it.
Oh.
Still, I believe, 97 degrees.
Oh, stop.
We'll be back.
You're worse than Kyle.
Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And local talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Yeah. All right, we're back. Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show here on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Yeah, and I'm talking summertime landscape maintenance and the importance of it so that your plants, your shrubs, your trees, and all that have the best of care. And if they have the best of care, guess what? They're in the best of health. So think about that. And I was talking about before the break, watching your sprinkler, seeing that it's not stuck in one position and actually watering the grass or the shrubs or whatever you have it pointed on or supposed to be pointed on. You know, make sure it's not just standing still and running water down the driveway or up against the house and all that. So, and if it is, hey, adjust the time, adjust the direction, make those adjustments. They're usually minimal. And if you can't adjust it, if you come across something that you just can't do, hey, give a professional a call. You can call us. You can call Frank Sprinkler. You can call a whole host of folks in the phone book that can maybe get over and do. Now, lawns, of course, in this hot stuff, can usually get by with two waterings with about, 35 to 45 minutes each watering in a week. You know, don't water lawns every day for 10 minutes and think that's good. That's the worst thing you can do. And then water after sundown and before the sunrise. You know, that's when you have the least amount of evaporation, mm-hmm. especially on a 96-degree day. And you're paying for the water. And if your water bill is going through the roof because you're watering at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that's one of your answers right there on how do I get my water bill down and still let my landscape survive. You know, that's the deal. With, like I have said 100 other times, with long-time watering, the water actually penetrates down into the root system. Like I said, the 10-minute thing is not going to help you. So do the math. Think about this. If you water 10 minutes a day, every day, that's like 70 minutes per week. And then if you do two waterings for 45 minutes only twice a week, that's 90 minutes per week. And that water actually is working. It gets down into the roots where it's actually needed. So you might be paying a little bit for water, but all your shrubberies or your lawns or whatever you're watering are in much better health. And if we catch a spot of cooler weather where it's foggy for a few days or we got a rainfall, you can cut one of those times off because it doesn't need it. And trees or shrubs, of course, they can get by with one deep watering per week if those plants are established at least 1 year. I have some large rhodies I've been watering about every 10 to 12 days, and I got to stretch a hose out about 100 feet to get to them, and I water them for 5 minutes, 6 minutes, but at 15 gallons a minute, that's quite a bit of water they're getting down into them, and they're on big raised beds, and these guys are 8 feet tall and 8 feet wide. And I just look at them, and if the leaves are droopy, I water it. Like tonight when I get home, I'm going to water it because I noticed this morning the leaves were a little droopy. Well, after a day like we're just having and, a few more in a row, I'm going to water it deeply and water and center the water right around the stem and maybe to the outside perimeter of the leaves and make sure that it gets a good drink. But again, that's only happening 7 to 10 days, maybe. And it, again, just depends on the weather. And as the daytime temps get cooler, even less water is needed. And you just feel the soil around the plant. If it's damp, leave it alone. If it's dry, soak it. It's just common sense, and you will save money on your water bill in the long run. And if you pay attention to the plants you have in your yard, certain ones take X amount of water and certain ones take X minus Y amount of water, that kind of thing. But if you pay attention to them, you can learn their water needs. Not everything is equal. It's like people. Not everybody's equal. And the plants are the same way. You wouldn't water a cactus all that much, but a rhododendron or an azalea is certainly going to take some water. I mean, if the leaves, look at the plant. If the leaves are limp and droopy, it needs a good soak. If the leaves are looking brown on the edges, well, that could be a sign of too much water. Again, feel the soil. It's a simple thing. You don't have an emergency. You don't have a big deal. But the biggest mistake, of course, I've said in 100 other times, is people overwater. So save money on your water bill and save your plants at the same time. It's just getting to know what the soil will take, what the water retention in that soil is, and of course the type of plant material that you have. Now, sometimes people plant really hardy plants as a base plant, and then in between they'll plant say petunias or marigolds or something that needs a lot of water and because they have such a shallow root system. So and you can't water the big major plants the same as you do the petunias. So you have to plan, well, maybe I ought to put the petunias in one spot and leave the major shrubs in another spot, and therefore I don't have to make any mistakes in there. So that's kind of, and if you have a vegetable garden, proper watering is critical to production. You know, if you're going to produce tomatoes, you can't drown them every day and expect the tomatoes to come, because what will happen if the roots don't rot, if you water them every day, but they'll send out flowers. They'll have plenty of green growth. They'll send out flowers, but they won't set fruit. To set fruit, they have to be stressed. In other words, you have to deprive them of water. You have to deprive them for a while after when the flowers come out, so that their inner workings, whatever you want to call it, all of a sudden say, uh-oh, we need to set fruit because we need to reproduce ourselves. And consequently, that's when you get your tomato crop.
We have a call.
Okay.
All right. You're on the air here with Mike Winters.
Hey, Mike, this is John. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Hello.
Have you ever, that lady that called you, was that about a cherry tree?
It was about a Kwanzaa flowering cherry.
A flowering cherry?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The, up in the Willamette Valley, they have a stem borer that makes the little small twigs and small limbs go hollow like that.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But we don't have them around here.
Well, apparently we don't have as many around here, but I have encountered them before because I talked. I talked to her about it.
Yeah, I was listening hard because you were doing a wonderful job.
Well, thank you. I didn't think I was giving her enough info, so you know it's hard to advise people when you can't stand there and see the tree and actually take a sample of the branch and do some. Poking and looking.
Oh, there's nothing like real life, Mike.
Yeah.
Nothing like it.
Yeah. 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 Well, that's why I told her to go to Mark Christensen at the co-op and tell him the circumstances, and he could pinpoint that for her and tell her the recommended treatment and get her on the right road.
If you were spraying with a systemic insecticide, I still don't think that's what they use for an ornamental like this up in the Willamette Valley.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't work very good. It doesn't circulate through the stems right.
That's true. I agree with that. So that's why it's a good idea to get some real professional advice from a real expert on diseases and bugs and what those stinking bugs do. So
There's a chance that she'll lose large parts of that tree.
Well, there is a chance, but they're pretty tough. They're pretty tough trees.
How and it during the wintertime, would you get any benefit from doing a dormant spray at all?
Oh yeah, definitely a dormant spray in the winter, but but not many people think of it in light of flowering trees. They think of it in light of fruiting trees.
Fruit, right? Yeah. I wondered about that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I'll talk to you down at the nursery sometime.
Okay. Thank you for the call, John. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. You're my hero. Bye.
Thank you.
Hero. All right.
All right. You got a fan there.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be right back after this fourth and final break. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Just another weather check, 97 degrees still.
Oh, that's great news. Thanks a lot for keeping me abreast of all the stuff that you're talking about.
There's a joke there about being abreast, but we'll leave it alone
Now, watering. I was talking about the water. What do we do in a garden, for instance, and like I said, proper watering is very critical to fruit or vegetable production. And often folks tell me, there are flowers on my tomatoes and my peppers or squash, but I got no vegetables. The blooms just fall off. They kind of turn brown or black, and they just rot right off. But no vegetable comes on them. And you know, and again, water is the key. If it's too much water, makes that plant grow, and it will flower, but it needs to be stressed to set the fruit. And if you don't stress it, the flowers will rot off from too much water, and you won't have any tomatoes, peppers, or squash, or whatever the heck you're trying to grow. So if the flowers are turning black and falling off, that's a very good indicator that's way too much water. And again, early water in the day or after the sun sets, and that way you escape any other rotting or burning technique on the leaves or the flowers. You know, drive by one of the commercial farms, you know, Brosai,
Cruz,
you know, those are the most visible, to easy to drive by, and watch how they watered. Go several times a day. They don't have sprinklers going 24/7. They don't. They're watering maybe once every 7 to 10 days, and that's about
that's
it.
All?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
When I come to town, I don't jump right on 99 and come here. I go through Brockway. I mean, not Brockway, but I go out Brosai Road by the parks, and I go by his farm because I want to see what he's doing and seeing how he's irrigating and stuff like that. And they're in it to make money. They have to produce all that they can for the time they have put in to pay the bills and eat and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I pay attention to, well, he didn't water for a whole week on that blueberry patch or the tomato or the corn or something like that. And, you know, that will give you a good indication of, if it's good enough for the commercial farmer,
well, it's got to be good enough.
It better be good enough for me, you know. Yeah. I mean, that's all there is to it. So anyway, so summertime problems, especially lawn problems. Number one problem I found here in Douglas County could be grubs. Grubs are a little teeny worms. They're segmented worms. They're kind of gray. And the crane flies come and lay eggs in August in your lawn. And these eggs
gross.
Oh, yeah, they are. They're ugly. They're like creatures from the Dark Lagoon. And to stay alive, though, they eat the grass roots.
And, oh, that's nice.
And you can't see them because they're under the ground, see? Mm-hmm. And the only indicator you have is that, why do I have that brown, round spot there over in the lawn? I water, I fertilize, you know, the rest of the lawn looks perfect. Well, that means there's probably some grubs in there, and you ought to take a little shovel and break down through the turf and look at the soil, turn it over in your hand, kind of pull it apart a little bit, and if you'll find a grub, and like I say, they're about an inch, maybe an inch long would be a big one, but they're segmented. They're not a smooth like an earthworm or anything like that. Got little teeny legs and all that kind of stuff.
They remind me of a maggot.
Yeah, there you go, perfect description. And you know, one time I put in a guy's brand new sod lawn. It was like November. And it was good timing, and it was beautiful, November, December, January, February, March, April, May. He called me up one day. He says, Mike, there's something wrong with my lawn.
Yeah.
He says, it's turning brown. I says, you want water and fertilize? Oh, yeah. So I went by, and this was a beautiful lawn for 5 months. And I went, I did a drive-by, and three-quarters of it was dead. It was brown.
What a waste.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I thought, what the heck is this? And this is years ago. Yeah. We, you know, years ago, we didn't have any problems with grubs. But it seemed, I don't know why, in the last 15 or 20 years, they've kind of multiplied and taken over all our lawns here in Douglas County. And so I did some investigation, found out it was grubs, and we treated it with a chemical called 7. It's spelled S-E-V-I-N.
Again,
you can buy that at the co-op or Coastal or one of those places. And a treatment, one or two treatments of 7 will kill those grubs. And so we treated my client's lawn, and I said, water it in, Steve. And he watered it in, and he called me up in 2 days, I guess it was, or the next day. He said, you got to see this. This is crazy. And he says, there are so many worms on my driveway. They're coming out of the lawn. They're trying to escape. And I drove up there, and his driveway almost looked like he was an oil slick. There were thousands and thousands and thousands of these things trying to get away from his grass. And then I looked along the curb by the street, and the same thing was happening. They were escaping up to the curb, but they can't live in the hot sun. So they were not only sick from the 7 that we put in there, but they were also sick from the heat and
take
the dryness.
Take that, you little son of a gun.
Yeah, you want to play? Well, we know how to get rid of you. But the product is 7. S-E-V-I-N, and follow, you know, the directions on the bag, and you may have to do it twice to get a good kill. But then afterwards, you can regenerate your lawn and put some good seed in, some fertilizer, and cover it with a little bit of peat moss or something like that, and water it, and you'll have a brand new lawn. But the key to this is, if you see one little round brown spot, mm-hmm. you know, some people think, well, a dog stopped by and, you know, did his business on
right.
it. But if that little brown spot in 2 days is 3 times the size, you know you got grubs. Mm-hmm. So treat it. Treat it and get her done, boy.
Immediately.
Yeah, immediately. So what do we got for time here?
Less than a minute.
Well, gee whiz. I don't want to get into all the other diseases that I have down here. But
so all you have to do is put that 7 on the lawn and water it?
Yeah, water it in.
Nice.
You know, and you put it in a fertilizer spreader. It's a granular.
Yeah.
And you can just walk over the lawn and crank it out and spreads, and then give it a shot of water so it begins to activate and penetrates down to where the grubs are, and then they pop out of there like toast.
That's cool.
Yeah. Well, not for the grubs.
But no, but that they deserve it.
Yeah, they do. They're eating way too much.
No more gourmet meals for you, buddy.
That's it, boys. No fresh lawns.
But that's going to wrap it for us.
Okay.
And where are you located, Mike?
We're about a half mile south of Winston on Highway 99, and we have Big Green Roofs. You can't miss us. Big Green Roof, and we will be glad to help you, talk to you, solve your problems, and sell your plans.
All right. Thank you, sir. We'll see you next time.